You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The Coalition government has announced a fast-track consenting bill, which would speed up the consenting process for regional and national projects of significance, giving ministers decision-making power over the consents process. According to Minister for RMA Reform, Chris Bishop, the proposed fast-track consenting law would be a one-stop shop for major infrastructure approvals currently gained under the Resource Management Act. However, the government has not ruled out whether the legislation will be used to approve mining, conservation or wildlife projects. For our weekly interview, ex-Simon Court defended their policy. So I wanted to talk to you about the fast-tracking consents bill. So what changes are the government making under the fast-track consenting process for regional and national projects of significance?
Well, there's already a fast-track process that is a leftover from the previous government's COVID-19 fast-tracking, when it became clear that trying to get major projects through consenting was taking years longer than we needed to and costing far more. So what the Coalition government's fast-tracking bill does is build on that, but also provide for projects to be referred by a minister to an expert consenting panel who will produce the environmental controls, the consent conditions, that otherwise an environment court would.
So who will make up this expert panel?
Well, the people who will be on the panel will need to have a specific experience relative to the project. How they will be selected will have to be determined as we work through the legislative process. But I would expect there'll be people who, you know, if it's a consent application that involves freshwater, they will have some experience dealing with freshwater science, for example.
But ultimately, ministers will have decision-making power over consents. So can you give us an idea of what kinds of projects could be approved?
Well, there have been some major transport projects, such as East-West Link in Auckland, which was intended, when it was first proposed maybe 7 or 8 years ago, to get heavy trucks off local roads around Onehunga and East Auckland. Those trucks are currently trundled through the suburbs on their way to Port of Auckland and put them onto a specially designed heavy traffic road, just a two-lane road, that would connect them from Onehunga to the southern motorway. Now, that project has been sitting in Supreme Court, I understand, and in negotiation for quite a few years. And so it's regarded as necessary. It's important to get heavy trucks off the road so that we can redevelop that part of Auckland. And it's a project that should probably proceed with the right environmental consent conditions. So that's the kind of project that is likely to be referred. But the actual list of projects hasn't been determined. It will be determined in a parallel process once those criteria are determined.
What about seabed mining? Is that something that the government would consider approving consents for?
Well, again, we haven't developed the criteria for project eligibility. It's quite clear that all forms of mining have environmental impacts. I think one of the challenges New Zealand's resource management system has thrown up to us is that it's really not capable of balancing environmental impacts against economic and social opportunity. The RMA places very little weight on value for money, for example, or economic growth and social opportunity from the kind of projects which some people might say have a negative impact on the environment. But one thing I would point out about any form of mining, its effects are temporary. I've been to a number of mine sites in the South Island and North Island where the environmental restoration has achieved a much higher standard of biodiversity than the surrounding dockland where the actual mine is located. So we know it's possible to restore nature. And I think, you know, what New Zealand needs right now is a focus on improved productivity and economic performance, so that we can generate the wealth that pays for all the other things we need, like health and education services.
Would that extend to mining on conservation land? And are you confident that an advisory group would recommend mining on conservation land as only having temporary effects on the environment?
Well, we know that that mining on conservation land, of which there are, I think, maybe 200 permits currently in operation, some for very, very large mines that have decades and decades of life left ahead of them, we know that the environmental consenting conditions will protect the environment and will set out very clearly what the expectations are to restore those sites at the end of their life. One in particular that I'd refer your listeners to is the Oceania Globe Progress Mine in Reefton, where they have planted tens of millions of seedlings, and they even preserved the tree stumps from trees on a site that were felled over 100 years ago, put them to one side, and when they carried out remediation, they dotted the tree stumps around the site as hidey holes for creatures. So, you know, I think mining companies, you know, want to retain their social license. They would only be offering conditions to a panel that they felt that they could meet, and they can demonstrate they already do meet.
Is the government ruling out projects previously rejected by the Environment Court on the grounds that they would cause too much environmental harm?
Look, the conditions or criteria for projects to be included in a recommendation for fast-track approval haven't been determined yet, so I can't confirm that.
So it's not being ruled out?
Look, what New Zealanders have asked for, that's why they voted for this coalition government, is a focus on improved productivity and economic performance. That will not come at the expense of the environment. But it's quite clear that the Resource Management Act and decision makers under that act have not delivered what New Zealand needs in terms of that balance of economy, social uplift, which is, you know, what big projects, big developments, big infrastructure does that enables communities to improve their well-being, and the effects on the environment, many of which during construction phase, for example, operations of a mine, are actually temporary. Like, whereas, you know, building a subdivision and putting houses on it, it's kind of permanent. So all of these things can be better balanced. But beyond the fast track, the ultimate goal is to replace the Resource Management Act with a system based on property rights and the environment to be improved by having a system of environmental limits that all of these activities need to be carried out within. That's quite a different approach from the integrated management, sustainable development approach that the RMA has set out, and which just hasn't worked for our environment, let alone our economy and communities.
As the climate change spokesperson for ACT in particular, do you have any concerns about environmental impacts that these kinds of projects could have?
Well, I think that we have a big challenge with climate policy now. The previous government spent a lot of effort, money and time on corporate welfare, subsidising big business like steel companies and dairy companies to pay them to replace energy systems with electric boilers and so on. New Zealand can't afford to do that. But more importantly, any investment we do make in climate change really should be focused on climate adaptation. That's the signal that this government has sent. That's a direction that I would propose. And we only have to look to last year's floods in Auckland and Cyclone Gabrielle's effects in Hawke's Bay and East Coast to see that if we do identify places that are exposed to natural hazards, you know, exacerbated by climate change, then we should invest in making sure people are safe with stop banks, coastal protection works, particularly around big assets. And we should also make sure that this space for the water to go. And that might mean, particularly in cities, that homes and businesses and infrastructure built in the way of floods does need to move. That really should be the primary focus going forward. And the fast-track legislation should enable much more balanced decisions to be made around building things in coastal areas, building things in river environments. You know, the choice between protecting assets, protecting communities, or moving them should become much easier. And, of course, that's also the ultimate goal of replacing the resource management system with a system based on property rights, which is another coalition commitment from this term of government.
The Green Party's co-leader, or outgoing co-leader, James Shaw, has described this bill as one of the most significant assaults on the environment undertaken by any government that he has seen. Would you be able to stand by the fact that environmental standards in Aotearoa will not be degraded under this new policy?
Look, there is nothing worse than the Resource Management Act for our environment. What we've seen over the past 30 years, or since 1991 when that act was passed, you know, based off our Rio and Sustainable Development Goals in the 1980s, with this laudable outcome to have integrated management of effects and activities and achieve sustainable development somehow, a term which has never been adequately discovered, no matter how hard we've tried to define it. And yet we've seen massive over-allocation of nutrients to many catchments around New Zealand, a massive over-abstraction of water from a whole lot of catchments that are under stress. At the same time, the RMA makes it almost impossible to build a water storage dam that actually might allow more water to be left in the rivers and the aquifers. So it's certainly clear the RMA has failed. The Fast Track Bill, is all it's trying to do is help New Zealand catch up on the last three wasted years of the previous Labor government, saying no to things so we can actually start delivering some projects that New Zealand needs and the communities need. Of course, the ultimate goal, and this is something in my delegation as the Undersecretary to the Minister for RMA Reform, is to replace the Resource Management Act with a system based on property rights where the environment is better managed through a system of environmental limits or guardrails, which currently we don't have. Now, I studied as an environmental scientist and engineer. I worked in that area for nearly 23 years, as well as civil engineering. I want to make sure that the legacy this government leaves behind is one of a better environment, but more productivity and a healthier economy too.
That was ex-Simon Court on the government's proposed fast-track consents law.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.